Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen. Wow. Y'all looking good.
It's not your head.
It's not your head. It's not your clothes.
No.
It's not your shoes.
your girl, your host for the hour, Wanda Adams. And we are Blazing the World Ministry and Music, and that's because we are setting the kingdom on fire. I want to bring in my co-host for this hour, Pastor Elmer Gabriel. Hey, my brother, how are you?
All is well. How are you doing, my sister?
I'm doing well. I'm so excited about our show tonight. Our special guest for the hour is a living legend. He has done so much in his career for ministry and music, and that's none other than the legendary Everett Drake. We're going to bring him on in a moment, but let me do some housekeeping. The first song that you heard is from our month's intro, and that's Kenton Jones, and I love that song, God Looks Good on You. Then we play from David and Tiffany Spencer, I'm Gonna Make It. And those songs are so inspirational because, you know, for first, God does look good on you. He changes your whole countenance. And no matter what you're going through, you're going to make it if you believe. Amen?
Amen.
So
Amen.
Our special guest, Everett Drake, he is just an amazing man. We go back a few years. So I'm going to introduce to some and present to others. You got to be living under a rock not to know who this man is. He started out singing with Dr. Bobby Jones in the Nashville Super Choir, but he's just an amazing, well-rounded individual. So, Everett, are you on the line?
Yes, good evening.
Good evening, my friend.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Great.
How are you?
I'm good. It's a blessing to be here. Good evening, Pastor Gabriel.
How you doing, sir?
I'm great, and thank you for asking. All is well. Thanks be to God.
Sister Wanda, before we go too far, I want Brother Everett to know that I got questions. I got at least five I got to ask. So do what you do, and I mean, there's some people want to hear from you, brother.
I know that's
well,
right.
We thank God.
And we're going to get to questions.
Yeah.
And if anybody on the line have a question for Everett Drake, you can push one. And when we start taking questions and answers, we'll pull you in. You can state your name and where you're from. And from there, I mean, when you look over your accomplishments, Everett, there are so many. But tell the people, who is Everett Drake?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm just a church boy out of Nashville, Tennessee, that loves God. I've been afforded some wonderful opportunities, and it's just Jesus, Wanda. Born and raised here in Nashville, Tennessee, and started off doing background vocals in the studio for a gospel record label, Nashboro Records, in the 70s. And from there, we were able to do background vocals for a lot of the country music stars. And one thing led to another, and one referral led to another referral, and went on to do tours with Miss Donna Fargo, who gave me my first opportunity to make a living as a professional singer. I went on the road with her for many years, and then, you know, on with Barbara Mandrell and different other artists, and in later years, Lyle Lovett and his large band, and just, you know, wonderful, wonderful opportunities. Needless to say, and not to mention or forget by any means Ambassador Dr. Bobby Jones and that platform there at BET, Bobby Jones Gospel. I'm most grateful for that. It played a major part in my life, and it's been a major blessing.
Well, I know that's where you and I met, at Dr. Bobby Jones, one of his shows.
Absolutely.
In Nashville.
Yes.
And, I mean, you know, you're such a kind, and you could tell that you're a God-fearing man, and so that made an impression on me.
Well, you know, grew up in church, and, you know, that's a part of who I am, you know. Probably one of the best compliments I ever received was from Lyle Lovett. We were on tour, and one night he went to introduce me, and he said, and now the Reverend Everett Drake from the First Baptist Church, South Inglewood in Nashville, Tennessee. I laughed so hard coming out because he caught me off guard. I had no idea the man even knew anything about my church, name or anything. And he and I laughed so hard, I thought I was going to get fired. And after the show, he said to me, he said, well, I hope I didn't offend you by what I said. I said, and I hope I didn't get fired for laughing so hard, you know, but I thought that was a wonderful compliment. He said to me, I think anybody that represents the gospel like you do is a reverend in my book. And that spoke volumes to me because I'm just me wherever I am, whatever I'm doing. I'm going to play my gospel music and I'm going to sing my gospel songs, and that's who I am. Of course, when it's time to work, I do what they ask me to do. But in the sound check, they're going to get whatever I'm feeling that day. If it's Amazing Grace, Precious Lord, or whatever is laid on my heart, that's what they receive.
Amen. Well, you have a very impressive resume. I want to jump into this and ask you, how exciting for you, and what was the experience like when you performed at the inaugural ball for the for President Bill Clinton?
That was absolutely amazing, needless to say. All of the security and all that goes into an affair like that keeps you on your toes, and you really don't know whether to move or go left or go right. So it's a very exciting evening, but he was most gracious, needless to say, and very complimentary. He made a compliment about the tie that I had on, because that was one of the things with Lyle Lovett, is that he provided suits for you, but you had to have a nice starched shirt and a necktie. And so I bought several neckties, and, you know, I don't remember what I had on that night, but I certainly put on one I thought was befitting for the occasion, and he was very complimentary there. But it was a wonderful evening. We did like a 45-minute set, and in the middle of the set, they brought him out and introduced him, and we stopped, and he greeted everybody and all, and we finished the set after that. And it was a wonderful time. I have things in my home that I brought back that would remind me of that occasion.
Well, like I said, you have a very, very impressive resume with notable accomplishment. You did some things in television during that era, and I think that's so crucial that we mention, you know, you paved the way for so many artists, and you are a living legend. And, you know, sometimes people don't put the name to the face, or they recognize your face, but the name. But, I mean, you've done so much, and you've done some major breakthroughs, especially in television. Tell us about your experience. You know, you worked, you appeared on, rather, Late Night with David Letterman and The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And in that time, that was just huge for anybody, especially an African-American. So tell us a little bit about those two experiences.
Well, for a young guy coming out of Nashville, Tennessee, whose family never took a family vacation, it was overwhelming for me. Great times to go, and these things you grow up watching every night, you know, and seeing, to have an opportunity to go to the Arsenio Hall show and Jay Leno's show and David Letterman and Jay Leno, the different shows, it was absolutely amazing, overwhelming. Go in and make an appearance, and then the response you get from your family and church members, you know, that watch these shows, because, you know, I'm not one to walk around talking about what I'm doing and all that, because, of course, back in those days, we didn't have Facebook and Instagram and the things that we post on now, you know, so if they saw it, they were aware of it, or if someone else told them about it, because I've just never been one of those kind of people that walk around talking about what I'm doing. We were brought up to believe that if you're doing anything, somebody else will talk about it.
Yeah, and to work with Lyle Lovett, that was a huge deal, because during that era, he was very prominent in country music.
Oh, absolutely. He's really alternative, more than country music, on the pop side of music. We did tours with big rock acts like Mark Knopfler and Dire Straits and acts like that, Bonnie Raitt and different ones. His tours were quite different. Probably the largest audience I ever performed in front of was at a castle in Scotland with Mark Knopfler and Dire Straits. Don Was and Was Not Was, and Lyle Lovett, of course, who I was with the large band. And one other act I can't remember, but I've done so many things with him that were amazing. I did the Tom Jones television show in Germany on one of the tours with him. And, you know, just things that you are aware of that are out there but have no idea you'd have an opportunity to be a part of, you know. And so many wonderful opportunities. Nobody but God could do something like that.
I know that's right. He deserves all the glory and honor. I'm going to allow Pastor Gabriel to jump in and ask you a couple of questions. And then after that, we're going to have our ministry and music break where I play some of your music. Because, you know, I'm a huge Everett Drake fan.
Oh, thank you. Bless your heart.
Well, since,
Pastor Gabriel?
Since you're talking about music, one of the first questions I wanted to get across was, out of all your songs, all your albums, I mean, Can Go to God, All Over Me, Beacon, God Cares, That Name, He's Our God, Paradise, Celebrate, But God, The Blood, Amen, goes right there. People I've been talking to want to know which song really means to you the most. In other words, what's one of your favorites?
All Over Me. Lord, let your spirit fall over all over me, from the top of my head down to the soles of my feet. Lord, let your spirit fall on me. That's actually one of the first songs that I wrote.
Wow. And I see as I was catching up, Amen goes right there, 2011, and as long as you have been in the business, what would you tell inspiring artists, not only how to get there, but how to stay relevant as you are while you're there,
well,
and as long as you've been there?
I usually talk about three things in particular when I have an opportunity to speak to upcoming artists. One thing I talk about is praying. Pray that God will give you the right words to say, the right things to say, and he will direct your path that you will need to go. And then that you will be a willing vessel to follow his instruction to do what he has laid in your heart and placed on your mind to do. The second thing is to practice your craft. I talk about, especially being a singer, in this day and time, nobody wants to serve anymore. I'm currently at my home church where I've been working in the music ministry for over 50 years. I'm still there. I'm the minister of music at our church now. And for some reason, we tend to think that we can't go and serve on Sundays in our church. You know, I have a problem understanding that. And a lot of times they seem to think that singing in the choir or on the praise team is too hard and it'll do something to their voice. But your vocal cords are a muscle just like any other muscle. And if you don't use it, you'll lose it. It's just like someone that goes to the gym and work out all the time and build up all those muscles and this great body, and then all of a sudden stops and don't go anymore and all that, it all turns to flab. And you look up and this great body has turned into an obese, you know, statue. These are things that I try to remind us that we need to serve. It won't hurt you to sing in the choir, on the praise team. Be found, you know, serving, because that's practicing your craft so that when God gets ready to move, you'll be ready to move. God works in his time, not our time, but we have to be ready so that when he's ready, we'll be ready. I said the same thing to musicians. You can be the greatest musician in the world, But if nobody knows anything about what your capabilities are, you're just a good musician wherever you are, out there on the hill or wherever you are. But you need to get out and go around some other musicians and sit in with some bands and all and learn how to work well with others and how to, you know, work in a unit, because it's a difference in ensemble playing as opposed to playing for yourself and those kinds of things. And I just try to share that with them, you know, practice your craft. And then thirdly, I talk about associating yourself with people who are doing what you want to do, which is one of the greatest things I believe you could ever do. When I got started in this music deal, my friends were working. They were doing background vocals. And I would go to the studio and hang out with them just to see what to do if given an opportunity. I wasn't working. I wasn't getting a check. But I went so that I would know if given an opportunity, I'd know how to conduct myself, what to do and what not to do, because we can learn something from everybody, you know. And one time I went, the producer wanted a bigger sound than the three singers was there. And he said, hey, can he sing? Bring him in here and let him sing too. And that was my opportunity. Had I not gone or had not been there, I'd have missed my opportunity. And maybe none of this would have ever happened. You know, God works in mysterious ways. They began to get more work than they could handle. They started passing work off to me, and I started hiring singers to go with me. And then that kept us all working. If I didn't have any work, they had work. Or if they didn't have any work, I had work. And that kept us all working as we did, you know, vocal sessions here in Nashville. And being in Nashville, Tennessee, a lot of our work was in country music. I imagine if we'd been in New York, we might have been doing Broadway and other things, or, you know, if you're in another location. But being in Nashville, you work where the work is. And it's been a major blessing, not only to be, but many singers here in the city and musicians. We work the Country Music Awards, the CMA Awards, the CMT Awards, Country Music Television Awards, Academy of Country Music. We work all those award shows, and not to mention the background vocal work that we do, you know, in the studio or make appearances with the artists. So it's a lot of work here in Nashville, but none of that may not have even been possible had I not been willing to go and associate myself with people who were working to understand what I needed to learn. Nowadays, you know, if you ask somebody to go do a session with you, they won't know how much they're going to make and have never even seen the inside of a studio or how to even stand at a microphone. But it's just the difference in how I was brought up in our time and where we are today and the thought processes of our young people. And I just pray that they will learn to serve, because serving will pay off. It's like the old song, serving the Lord will pay off after a while. Serving will pay, I promise you.
Well, I know we got to go, but I just want to Mr. Drake to know I feel humility and God's anointing all over this man, and I ain't never met him. I just wanted to know what I feel way in Oklahoma. Humility and a precious anointing of God on you. So I just think, and plus I'm warning you now, your three parts going to be preached, because you preaching to me. You preaching to
yes,
me.
Yes, I thank God, because, you know, that from the heart reaches the heart. And I have a passion for this. This is, you know, who I am. And, you know, I've often, my producer, the late Derek Lee, often said to me that my interviews come off like a rehearsed presentation. And I said to him, I said, well, if it's the truth, it's going to come out the same way all the time, because you don't have to prop it up and fix it or any of that. It is what it is. It'll stand on its own. All you got to do is start talking. It'll come out.
Huh. Well, before I turn it over, excuse me, people have got a sign saying, ask them. This last one, I'm through, I'm done. Minister Drake, what was the most powerful move of God you have experienced while singing?
The most powerful move of God.
While you were singing.
While I was singing. Now, you got me that time, Pastor. You know, God moves, you know, quite often, but I can't stand here and say that I've been in the midst of a healing. You know, as you hear sometimes, people say people have been delivered and been healed. Now, I have not experienced that firsthand from my thing, but I have known people to come and talk about how what was said and the lyrics of the songs have ministered to them and helped them to feel the need to go on. We don't ever know what people are experiencing in life and what people are going through every day. You know, we walk around with a smile on our face and all, but you don't know how people may be hurting, what's going on with them. And I have had people stop me. And, you know, the interesting part of it all, I would say the funny part of it all, is that usually happens when you think you really haven't done your best. Like you might have been sick or had a cold or something, and you didn't have the voice that you depend on most of the time. And it's just like that when I'm weak, he's strong. It's like God intercedes for you, and what leaves your mouth is transformed by the time it gets to their ears. And I have left my church, and by the time running to get to my car, because I said, you know, that was awful, absolutely awful, and get down in the parking lot, and somebody has come to tell me how much they've been blessed. And I've heard you sing every Sunday, many Sundays, but never have I been blessed like that. And I'm thinking to myself, well, what did you hear? You know, because I thought that was awful, you know. But that's what comes to mind when you ask that question, because we think that we're doing something when we've got all of our tools to work with, all of our notes in our range, and, you know, all the runs and everything. And but let you be not at your best and not have a voice and all, and you have seen, you're depending and leaning on God for every moment. And I'm just being transparent, you know. I'm being real, you know. Sometimes we don't get that deep to talk about our singing as to whether it's good or bad or and all, but you can't fool yourself. You know when you sound bad, you know. It is what it is. But those are the times that you depend most on God to help you make it through. And those are the times that, more times than not, people are blessed the most. And I'm going to say it one more time. I think it is the fact that God takes what leaves your mouth and transforms it and intercedes for you so that by the time it reaches their ears, it has another anointing on it that you could never produce in your best hours, in your best voice, in your best performance that you could never do. And that's what I would learn from that situation. And that's what that has taught me. And that's the first thing that comes to mind when you ask me that question.
Wow. Well, now I've got to take it.
Hey, we're going to finish this thing because this man of God has accomplished so many things. We may have to do a part two, but we're going to take a music break, and I'm going to play one of the songs that people have not forgotten by Everett Drake that's in high demand, and it's entitled Amen Goes Right There.
Together, since we've got family.
And I love my dad.
We know charity begins at home.
And I love my dad.
And we've got problems of our own.
And I love my dad.
Heaven, please help us all.
And I love my dad.
It's all for one and one for all.
Amen goes right there by our special guest, Everett Drake. One of the things I want to ask you, Everett, is tell us how you got connected with Dr. Bobby Jones.
Well, there again, these same friends that I went to the studio with, our paths kind of separated. They went to sing with Dr. Jones, and he had just started his television show, and I went on the road with Miss Donna Fargo with country music. And when I would come off the road, I would go to the television station and hang out with them to support them. But you can't ask people to come and see what you're doing if you're not willing to go support them and what they're doing. So I would go and hang out with them, and all in one time I went, Dr. Jones asked me why I hadn't ever come and sang with him. And I said, well, Dr. Jones, you know, when Miss Fargo calls, I've got to go. That's how I pay my bills. That's how I make a living. He said, listen, boy, I've been knowing you all your life. I know what you do. Said, this is, you know, my show, and I can do whatever I want to. I said, well, I never thought you would allow someone to, you know, walk in and out of your show. He said, anytime you're in town, you come and sing with us. And if you have to go, I already know that you need to go. Just keep in touch with me and let me know when you're in town and come back. There's always a place for you at Bobby Jones Gospel. And Wanda, I have to say, he has been a man of his word. Sometimes I was gone 6 months, year and a half, whatever. But, you know, we didn't have a cell phone, as I said before back then. I'd drop a little card in the mail. You know, Dr. Jones, they've been teasing me, saying I'm always camera ready. It's your fault. Just a little something, you know, let him know how much I appreciate what he had done for me, you know, because so much has come out of that situation. You know, we learned so much how to even rehearse. Derek Lee was a master at teaching vocals and all, and he taught us how to rehearse. There's no way in the world we could retain 60-something songs to do a whole year of the television show in 2 weekends if we had not been taught properly. And with that came, you have to learn your blocking, where you need to stand for the lighting, and the choreography that goes along with the songs and all that. Now, that's not to mention even the guest artists that were coming, that we had to learn their material as well. So it was a lot that went on, but those times did a lot for us and has helped all of us in whatever we're doing musically to even today.
Well, I know, you know, from your appearances on Dr. Bobby Jones Gospel and Dr. Bobby Jones Presents, people recognize your face, but they don't associate the name. So we want to let you know that light-skinned brother that Dr. Jones say looked like El DeBarge.
Yes. That has always been funny to me. Yeah. You know, I have been on this road trying to get my name caught up with my face, because most people recognize me from the television show, but they never knew my name. So this recording has helped to bridge those two and bring them together, and I'm just grateful how God is opening doors and making ways to help me get to that point that people recognize and know my name, because most people say, "You that light-skinned boy on Bobby Jones," you know, and, you know, as long as I shall live, that's who I will always be. I have no problem with that. I'm grateful. It, you know, you could be known for something much worse than that.
I know.
It's a blessing, you know.
I would get so tickled when Dr. Jones say, "Here come the light-skinned El DeBarge."
Yes.
I thought that was funny.
He says it all the time. Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, I think it's a wonderful thing because, you know, he's got a whole lot he could be talking about, Wanda. He doesn't ever have to call my name or mention me. It's so much that he could be talking about his career and all the radio shows and books and recordings and television shows and things that he has done that could take up all his time. He doesn't ever have to call my name. And I'm grateful every opportunity that I hear Everett Drake. That's a blessing.
I know it is, and that's one thing about Dr. Jones. Whenever I would step in to one of his recordings, you know, he would always acknowledge me.
Oh, yes.
And that's because, you know, he thinks of others before he thinks of himself.
Absolutely.
And that
Absolutely.
Truly is a blessing. Well, we're going to open up the phone lines. Our queue is full. If you have a question for Everett Drake, just put one, and that'll let me know you have a question. I'm going to go back to Pastor Gable and see, you know, he said he had 5 or 6 questions. I'm going to give him an opportunity.
I think in just listening to him, he's answered all of ours. I just have a personal question. When will he come back on the show?
Well, as you know, we're on the Impact Television Network now, and we're on every Saturday at 5:30 p.m. Central Time, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and, you know, respectively, every week. Of course, I don't get to be featured every week because there's so many singers that are part of the Nashville Super Choir, but there are times I have an opportunity to step out and sing a song or two, and I even had a guest spot about a month ago where he featured me, and I sang God Cares and Amen Goes Right There and did an interview with him. So he's always very gracious about allowing us to be a part of the show and to give us the push that he gives all the other artists that come to do the show, because there are several other artists that are a part of the Nashville Super Choir as well. Miss Cherie Isabel has a great song out, The Great I Am. She has a new piece out now. I can't think of the name of it, but she is an artist in her own right as well as others in the group.
The 650, state your name, where you're calling from, and ask your question to Everett Drake.
Yes, this is Annette. I'm from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and I have so very much enjoyed the show this evening. Quick question. Out of all the millions of people that you've been in front of, Minister Drake, and all the countries you've gone to, what was the most difficult conversation you had to have when you were touring and as you're touring with Donna Fargo or Lyle Lovett, when someone knowing you are also a minister approach you and may have been an unbeliever and just kind of question you on what is this faith? What can you remember where you were or when and what that most difficult conversation was and how you approached it?
That's an interesting question. I was just trying to think because I was led to one thing that had me speechless was when I met Aretha Franklin, but that was not, the more you talked, that was not what you were really looking for. You were looking for another situation where I was with the secular artist and them not knowing that I was a Christian. But as I said before, I'm me everywhere I go, you know, like I said, with the Lyle Lovett situation, I had my CDs and I played my gospel music in my bunk in my hotel room. And, you know, when others might be scatting or doing other things during sound check, when their time was to check their mic, they got whatever I was feeling that day. If I was working on a song, they were the first ones to hear it. Or if I needed to sing I Need Thee Every Hour or whatever the case might be. And I think that's what prompted Lyle to make the comment that he made. But I've really never had anyone to come against me or ask me anything really, you know, out of the way about what I do, because the blessing for me was I never really worked with any of the rowdy artists that were cussing or beer drinking songs and sing those kinds of things. And all the people that I worked for were storytellers and love songs. And that's, you know, that might be another reason that I didn't encounter a lot of the other things, because I, you know, I wasn't with the rowdy artists who had the rowdy crowds and, you know, with the rowdy crew.
God bless you.
Bless you.
Thank you so much. We're going to bring in another caller. They're calling from Oklahoma's in the house, 405-919. Caller, state your name and ask your question to Everett Drake. Caller, are you there? Well, I guess they will come back on when they're ready to ask their question. We're going to take a music break. I'm going to play one of my other favorite songs by Everett Drake, and that is God Cares.
There's so much going on in the world today, but we don't have to worry. God's got it all in control. So just trust and know God cares, and He cares for you. In a mansion made of stone, in a shanty all alone, God cares. He cares. God cares for you. Whether black or white all the pressure in His sight, God cares. Oh yes, He cares for you. rich or poor, to the one in need, to the beggar man, or even to the thief, God cares, yes he does, God cares, he cares for you.
Ministry and Music. This is your host, Wanda Adams, and your co-host, Pastor Elmer Gabriel. Everett, our time is winding down, and I'm going to have to bring you back because I got people want to talk to you, and we only have a few minutes left in this segment. I mean, it's just kind of crazy. The hands are up everywhere, so that lets me know that God is moving even through this radio show, and people now understand they can put the face with the name.
Yes, and I'm grateful. And I thank you so much for this awesome opportunity to share with you and your listeners and to talk with Pastor Gabriel. It's just a blessing, and I want to say thank you. If no one else ever takes time to come back and say thank you, I want to make sure that you know that you are appreciated. You never know who's listening and how you're blessing people because your ministry goes out over the airwaves, have no idea where it's going and who it's blessing, but just know that people are being blessed and God honors your faithfulness.
Thank you, Everett. You know, we reach Brazil, United States, we reach some in the UK, and I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you get a chance to touch the hearts of others. So as we wrap up,
absolutely.
Pastor Gabriel, do you have any questions for the legendary
I got two, and I know we got to go, so you can come back and ask them if you want to. But one of them, Brother Drake, is if there was there ever low moments in your life where you thought you wouldn't be able to make it or take it, and if so, we know who got you through. But how did God get to you?
Well, absolutely. That happens in all of our lives, you know, sickness and death. I am the last of my family that's living. I was the baby of the family. My father was 50 when I was born, and I'm now 68 years old. So, you know, I've gone through a lot of loss in the fact of loved ones, but God is our keeper and our comforter. And just as you think you can't make it, he has a way of sending somebody to encourage you. You know, we can't. I'm always trying to help someone else and do something for somebody else. And what you have to always be mindful of, you can't expect it to come back from that person. But always know that God has somebody that will come and do those very same things for you if they're done for the right reasons. And if you're just doing things to help people and doing it for the right reasons from your heart, God will always send somebody to do something for you just when you need it most. It may not be monetarily. It could just be a word that will lift and brighten your whole day and change your whole perspective of everything that's going on in life. He's just that kind of God. And I've lived long enough to know that, you know, when you go down, you're coming back up. You know, it's just a bend in the road, and you shall return. Just hang on in there, keep trusting and believing. God's got the way already made. We just don't know about it.
Wow. A wonder. Make no mistake, we have been ministered to by Brother Everett Drake.
Well, I
yes,
thank
we
God.
Have. Well, Everett, will you come back again?
Absolutely. Anytime. I'd be more than happy to come back and talk with you. I just appreciate the invitation to think that you would want me to come back. And I'd be more than happy anytime that you would like for me to. I'll come back and we'll talk some more and share some more. And, you know, we just want people to be blessed. And it does my heart good to hear you say that something said or done has been a blessing this evening.
Well, it has. And, you know, it's just that, you know, hours are not enough time to talk about all the things that God has blessed you to do, to play all of your music. You know, you truly are a man of God, and I am so glad that you are my friend.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, I wanted to talk about
all your
work.
I thank God that you're my friend. Absolutely. By
and now
all
you
means.
Got a new friend,
yes.
In Pastor Gabriel.
Yes, I look forward to meeting you, Pastor. I have to come to Oklahoma now.
I'm looking forward to it. You gave me a sermon, so I'll get it to you too.
I'd be more than happy to come. People seem to think because you come from television, you charge so much money that they can't afford you, but that is not the case. I'd be more than happy to come and share with you and your morning worship services, concerts, workshops, whatever the case may be. I am available. I'm booked through J. Bender Entertainment, a young man here in Nashville that helps me with my affairs and my travel arrangements and what have you. And you can reach out to him at jbenderentertainment.com. Or
wow.
You can email him, jbendere@gmail.com. And, of course, I'll give you his number even. It's 615-873-0646. Again, that's 615-873-0646. He's a wonderful Christian young man. He belongs to my church. We work together in ministry at our church, and I'm grateful to have somebody to help me. But I'd love to come and share with you, and that goes out to all of your listeners.
Child
well, amen death. Goes right there.
Yes, ma'am. Amen.
Well, Everett, I thank you for being. We're going to have you back, Pastor Gabriel. We thank you for being our co-host. This has been a wonderful episode. Till next Thursday, same time, same information. Join us as we set the world on fire.
Amen.
Be blessed.
Love y'all.
Love you all. Have a great evening. Bless you.